Matthew chapter 8 again. Now we're talking about true worship. Last week we looked at the basics of true worship, right? Remember the three basics? True worship acknowledges Christ's authority. True worship acknowledges Christ's ability. And true worship acknowledges Christ's absolute sovereignty.
Yes, sir.
As the leper said, remember, he meant this. This was not just something he was taught in Sunday school. It's not something he was indoctrinated into. This was something that he felt a deep-seated personal need for and belief in.
Yes, sir.
Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now think of it this way, just the last few words about the basics of true worship. God's absolute sovereignty is his ability and his authority at work.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's what his absolute sovereignty is. It is his ability and his authority at work. You see, a lot of people believe he has the ability and the authority, but he don't use it. Right? You know, God could have chose, but God chose to let us choose. Right? God could have purposed this, or God could have purposed that, but, you know, and I've heard them say, well, God purposed not to be sovereign in some things. Now, how in the devil can you purpose, how can you be sovereign and then purpose not to be what you are?
Yeah. Exactly.
Huh? That's like God saying, and what they're saying is, in effect, whether they mean to or not, God purposed not to be God. Right?
Yeah.
That's what the doctrine teaches.
Yeah.
Now this old leper here, now where he got this from? Where this knowledge, this understanding, this faith, right?
Yeah.
Where this come from, I don't know other than to say it came from God.
That's exactly
right? Just like our Lord said to Peter, I think it was, he said, who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And our Lord said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
And I tell you, most preachers, and especially so-called soul winners, need to remember that right there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because if a person knows something because I taught them, then they can unlearn that by man too.
Oh, yeah.
But if God teaches you, you got it.
Sir.
You know, you got it. So here's this old leper. He comes up and as Mark and Luke says, he says he bows down on the ground. And Luke or Matthew tells us what this really was. This bowing down. He says he worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Yeah.
So there it is. We see God's absolute sovereignty in action here in his authority and power. We see him saying to this leper, what did he say? I will.
Yes, sir.
Right? I will be thou clean.
Amen.
But let me say that Christ's lordship, his ability, and his absolute sovereignty is seen even further and in a more powerful way when we realize that Christ raised the dead.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
See, you got some people say, well, but here you'd see the leper was willing first. He wanted it first. No, this leper only realized his need because Jesus Christ himself gave him that understanding.
Yes, sir.
Right? Right. It came from God.
Amen.
But be that as it may, when it comes to God raising the dead, there is no cooperation of God's will with man's will.
Exactly.
Right? The dead who are raised don't cooperate. They are acted upon.
Amen.
Period. Well, okay, just wiggle the little finger. That's all you got to do and you can get up from there.
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't know what you mean.
No man is, even spiritually speaking, according to Scripture, man is dead in trespasses and in sins.
Amen.
And it takes a divine act of spiritual resurrection to raise man out of that tomb.
Yes, sir.
No, Christ is the Lord, and he can, if he will. If he will. That's the whole question. If he will. As God has said, the Apostle Paul being moved by the Spirit to write in Romans 9, I'll read it again. God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And whom I will, I'll harden.
Amen.
Somebody says, God don't do that. Well, not your God, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he does.
Yes, sir.
He does. He says he does.
Yeah, exactly.
And look around. You can see it. You know, you can see it. But now let's come to this. I mentioned this. There are fundamentals to true worship. Now we still say the basics. It's the same thing. But you have the basics of true worship. But there are fundamentals to true worship.
Yes, sir.
And I mentioned that one. And it's found in John chapter 4. If you want to turn there. Now these are Christ's words. His own words, rather. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you probably everyone here knows the account. Here is this woman at the well. Now, many people say, well, he met her there. No, he went there to meet her.
That's exactly right.
He didn't just meet her there. He went there to meet her.
Yes, sir.
What did he say? Let me find it. Yeah. I must needs go through Samaria. Right? Mm-hmm. I got a job to do here. I got some business to take care of. Right? So here comes this woman to the well. This is what our Lord, now I'm not going through all of it, but look at, beginning in verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father.
Right.
Now that, at that time, all worship was considered to be centered in and around Jerusalem by the Jews.
Yes, sir.
Okay? The Samaritans had another mountain that they worshipped in.
Yep.
And all worship, even if you were in another place, was mentally to be, all worship was to be directed toward that location.
Yep.
With that location in mind. That's where God was,
yes,
as
sir.
The thought would be. But he tells a woman, there becomes an hour, the hour cometh, when ye shall in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. That's tough. You know that? You don't know what you worship. Huh? Now, today, most folk, they don't want to tell people the truth. They don't even want to tell the facts, let alone the truth.
That's exactly.
You know? What they want to do is pitty-patter around trying to win someone's heart. Okay? The thing is, speak the truth. If the truth wins them, they're won. If you win them through emotional tactics and ploys, you ain't got nothing. You got a following's all you got.
Yeah.
You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, let me just stop a moment.
Yeah.
If there's true worshipers, it didn't just say when the worshipers,
nope.
Right?
Yeah.
He qualifies this, right? When the true worshipers, if there's true worshipers, that lets me know there are also what?
False
worshipers.
Exactly.
Huh? Now the question is, which one am I really?
Yeah.
That's what I got to figure out, David.
Yeah,
am I a true worshiper or a false worshiper? Well, long as you worship God. No, it don't work that way. You got to be a true worshiper, right? Why? Because there are basics to true worship.
Yes, sir.
All right? When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit. Now, it's not God is a spirit. That's not right. Now, I know the King James Version is supposed to come from Paul himself, according to some folks. You know, God himself translated the KJV to Saul of Tarsus. Okay? But A is not even in the Greek.
No.
As a matter of fact, A is not even a Greek word as far as we think of it, okay?
Yeah.
God is not a spirit. God is spirit.
Amen.
All right? God is spirit, and they that worship him, you see that next word, don't you? Just four letters in our English. Must.
Mm-hmm.
It is imperative.
Yes, sir.
There's no way around it. Now, even though this leper didn't quite conduct himself perfectly in accord with the law, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was supposed to be having his face covered, at least his mouth covered, crying, unclean, unclean. And we could go back and show that, prove it, but Just, it's there if you want to study it out. It should be crying, unclean, unclean, anytime he was in public.
That's right.
Because there was a place outside the camp he was supposed to live in.
Yeah.
And anytime he had to come without that, he had to cry when he got within so many feet of someone, unclean, unclean. He didn't do that. He just shows up in the crowd. Huh? Right? But what's he do? He still worships in truth and in spirit.
Yes, sir.
Right? In spite of his inability to keep the law.
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly.
He still runs to the only one that could help him.
Exactly.
Right? And he worships him. No, they that worship him must worship him. Must. It is imperative. It's what Christ tells us.
Mm-hmm.
They must worship him. In spirit, that's the first principle, the first fundamental. And in truth.
Yeah.
And it is amazing to me. I mean, there is so much ignorance of God in this world. I mean, everywhere you turn, people know nothing of the truth of God. You know?
Right.
Every once in a while, I think they slip up and say the truth, and they don't even know what they're saying.
That's exactly.
You know? I mean, you hear somebody, and it's just, for instance, if you go to work, wherever it might be, and somebody you're kind of acquainted with, you get to know them, and you kind of get an idea of who they are.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they come up with this thing about, well, God, you know, if the good Lord plans it, it's going to happen.
Yep.
You say, what? You don't talk like that most of the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And of course, usually it's all, you know, the man upstairs. Well, there is a man upstairs, but not in the attic, I mean, in glory. The right hand of God the Father.
Yeah.
No, there is a lot of ignorance.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something. You don't worship God in ignorance.
That's right.
Now, you may have some ignorance and can worship God, but you don't worship God in ignorance.
Amen. That's right.
You understand the difference?
Yes, sir.
You may be ignorant about many things, but there's one thing you cannot be ignorant about. That's totally ignorant about, and that's Christ himself.
Yes, sir.
Because to not know Christ is to miss who God is.
Amen.
Now, spiritual worship is an inward worship.
Yeah.
It may manifest itself outwardly, like this leper did. What did he do? He bowed down on the ground. This was more than just the Eastern custom. Okay? Now, there were customs then that certain people of esteem, you bowed down to them. And that was a custom in that. But this, he's not, Matthew's clear to us, this is not a custom. He's doing what?
Worshiping.
So that manifests itself outwardly. He literally got on the ground. It said, one of the things it says, he kneeled down before him. And he also verbally expressed, Lord. You know?
Amen.
But spiritual worship must be centered in, or I should say centered within.
Yeah.
Okay? A lot of people think of spiritual worship as getting worked up.
Yeah.
It's basically like exercising at church. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You get up and you jump around and you holler and you raise your hands and people run up and down the aisles.
Yeah.
You know? Basically, they call them today praise and worship services. It's basically a concert in a religious building where they have rock and roll music and the words have Bible words to it instead of just rock and roll words.
That's
what it is.
Yes, sir.
It is not the worship of God.
No.
Because there is no spirit there. Now, there's a spirit there.
Oh, yeah.
But there is no spirit there. Not this spirit. And there, if you listen to it for very long, listen to the songs.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out there's no truth there either.
Right.
Me and Jesus. Jesus is my co-pilot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Me and God's buddies.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't sound like that leper, does it?
No.
Doesn't sound like John, the Apostle John, wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letters,
yeah,
right, in the New Testament. A man that God used to write 5 letters. And in that 5th one, he describes something that happened to him when he met the same Christ he was with for 3.5 years now.
Yes, sir.
But when he met him on the Isle of Patmos, what did he do?
Yeah.
He fell down at his feet as one dead.
Yeah. Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah, that's it.
You see, you can't worship in truth if it's not in you.
Yeah.
And if it ain't in you, you can't worship in truth. I want to point out something this morning. I'm not trying to be scary. I'm not trying to cause doubt. Well, yeah, baby, I am. If that's what's needed. If that's what's needed. I'm afraid far too many people think they got it and they ain't got it.
Yeah.
Because far too many other things matter to them in this world.
Yeah.
Far too many other things take precedence to them in this world.
Amen.
And when Christ is, and I'm talking about you, he is now, but when he's recognized inside, inwardly, in the heart, in the mind, and the soul, when he's recognized as Lord, you can't escape that. No matter what happens in your life, you realize that there's a place where I must bow down before Christ. Even if this circumstance is a dreadful circumstance, even if this circumstance brings me to tears and breaks my heart, I must still bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Religion's not like that. I'm talking about professing Christian religion. They openly say you can indicate. They openly indicate you can have Jesus as your Savior. He don't have to be your Lord.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Well, they'll tell countless thousands, okay, you're saved now. You need to make Christ the Lord of your life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There is no such thing.
I've heard it.
There is no such thing.
Exactly.
Again, first of all, we don't make Christ anything. He is who he is. We acknowledge it. We're to bow down to it.
Yes,
we're to believe it. You know? We don't make him Savior. We don't make him Lord. But at the same time, he is not your Savior. And I mean in an experiential way. He's not your Savior if he's not your Lord.
That's right.
And you know what? I just got to say this. That which you really believe and love, you support it. You support it. If you love to go hunting, what do?
Yeah.
You buy the best gun you can afford. You can afford. Maybe sometimes the one you couldn't afford.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You go out and buy real nice boots with all the good warmth in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you love something, you put time and effort into it.
That's true.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Period. That goes with everything.
Yeah.
It's time people put their actions and their money where it belongs, and tell the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Either support the gospel or don't.
Yeah.
Either stand up for the truth or say, I don't believe that. I'm sorry, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Quit playing games, right?
Yeah.
That's what people need to do, but people want to play games.
Yeah.
They want to act. Well, but, you know, who are you to judge me? God's truth judges.
Yes, sir.
Right? And our Lord himself said, you cannot serve two masters.
That's right.
He didn't say you ought not.
No.
He said you cannot. You will either love one and hate the other.
Yeah.
Right?
Boy.
It is one way or the other. You know what? It shows on people.
Yeah.
You just got to be careful because you don't want to point them out too quick.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It begins to show on people. Little things happen. Little red flags go up.
Yeah.
And you hold back in judgment because you hope, I hope to God I'm wrong. You know, you just hope. You have that hope. Just hope, God, I'm wrong. I know we're all capable of these things.
Oh, yeah.
But you see these little flags, red flags going up. And eventually, you know what happens? The big red flag goes up.
Yeah.
They finally say, I'm tired of this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Our Lord said, no man goes to war before counting the cost.
Right? Yeah.
Right? We've got countless thousands of people making decisions for Jesus. And I'm afraid maybe even people believing the gospel of Christ,
mm-hmm.
believing the truth just because somebody else does. Well, that's what the family does,
mm-hmm.
you know. They believe it because they've kind of been emotionally tugged into it,
yes.
rather than believe it because it's a part of who they are,
exactly.
okay? Rather than believe it because this is what God has made me to see.
Yes, sir.
That's where it's real. And that's where it's real. And this is worshiping God in spirit. But it also must be in truth. Right? He said, they that worship me must worship me. How? In spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Now, so vital is this that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, and you can turn there if you want, but I'm not going to turn to it. It's 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 13. It says that Paul's told these Thessalonians, I'm I'm bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through. So it's not just he chose to save me and therefore I'm saved. Right? It's not it. He chose to save you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and what else? Belief of the truth.
Amen.
Now here he's talking about conversion.
Yeah.
And no one is ever converted by lies.
Exactly.
They are converted only by truth.
That's right.
Now I don't care where that truth comes from.
Yeah.
You know, it can come from a Calvinist. It could come from an Arminian. Or it can come from a jackass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? If it's the truth, that's what matters. Okay? It's the truth. But I will tell you this. I don't care if a man is a Calvinist, because he's not preaching the truth. There ain't no converting of this kind going on. Right? Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Yes.
But the striking thing is there's some people Paul mentions to these Thessalonians. He mentions to them about some people that said they received not the love of the truth. So notice, it's not just, oh, well, all right, that's the truth. Well, I'm stuck with it. You know, that's who God is. You see what I'm saying? Well, I know that's what the Bible says, so I guess I got to believe that. No, it's the love of the truth.
Amen.
You know, that's what we talk about, true worshiper. It's not just somebody that says, I can go through the orthodoxy, right? You know, it's been taken through the catechism. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody it's real to and they love it.
Yes, sir.
And when you, again, I go right back. When you love something, you put something into it.
Yes, sir.
Don't you? That's just a fact.
Yeah.
You know? Call it what it is.
Yeah.
You know? I don't eat snails because I don't like snails. Okay? I mean, I don't even like them, let alone love them. Right? But I do like a great old big marbled steak. I can even love it. So I eat as much of it as I can get, Mason. Right?
Yes, sir.
Huh? When you love something, you want to enjoy it, be a part of it, be around it, you know? Partake in it, support it.
That's right.
When you don't, you can either take it or leave it. You know? But Paul said to these Thessalonians, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. But you know what it says? Wherefore?
Yeah.
God shall send them strong delusions. Now, I've heard preachers say it. If you listen to tapes years ago, you might even hear me say it. If I did, I was wrong. Okay? Now, people say, well, now God don't really do this. God uses something else to do this. Now, where's that at? What verse is it that says that?
Yeah.
The words Paul wrote is, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie. God's going to send them a strong delusion so that they would, rather than loving the truth and believing it, they're going to do what? They're going to believe the lie.
Yes.
Why? That they all might be damned. Now, that's the same God that chose the other people, the Thessalonians, to believe the truth.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's it.
So, being a true worshiper is not up to you.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, if you're going to be one, you'll be partaking in it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a man does will to believe the truth and love the truth. A man does endure in believing the truth and loving the truth. But it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. But it is of, we're talking about source here, it is of God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
Yeah, he's going to make you love it, and you're going to be glad he made you love it.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody said, God don't make anybody get saved. Well, if he don't, ain't nobody going to get saved.
Amen.
That's right.
I mean, I know what I went through wasn't something I was looking for, you know? I'd just soon not see myself in Romans chapter 1. I don't belong there. I mean, I've been bad, but I ain't that bad. You know? Like you said, Joe, I can never commit no murder.
Not yet.
I hope you're talking about you, not me. I've never killed somebody, you know. I might be a backbiter every once in a while, but I ain't killed nobody.
That's right.
Huh? But that list there is, it doesn't say, now here's some real bad ones, and here's some little bit less bad ones, right? This is a description of what we are. I don't want to be there, but God showed me I was there.
Exactly.
Huh? That's now saying, God made me see myself there when I did not want to see myself there.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
And then God also did something else. He made me willing in the day of his power.
Amen.
And that's what even the prophet prophesied.
Yes, sir.
Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
Amen.
So that's one thing I know. That, hey, somebody said, well, you know, you're an idiot. I ain't going to believe none of this. I don't care. I'm not here to convince you of it.
Exactly.
I'm here to preach the truth.
Yes, sir.
And if God makes you willing, bless God, you'll come.
Amen.
And you'll love it when you do.
Yeah. Yes,
and
sir.
You'll be glad when it happens.
Amen.
You know? We're not up here trying to win someone's soul. You're not, you know, you're not supporting this trying to win someone's soul. We're here to preach the truth.
Yes.
And let the truth do its own job.
Exactly.
Right? You see, as I said, the spiritual worship, it's not some outwardly jump around, hop around kind of stuff. Paul in Philippians said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Now think about it. Worship in the Spirit. What's he mean? He's saying we do this, but there's a circumcision out here. They're dogs. They're evil workers. They're the concision. How do they worship? With a lot of outward show.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Their worship consisted in constant doing over and over again. At one time, that was ordained of God. Some of it was. Not all of it. But now those things are fulfilled. They're over with. No more worship at Jerusalem. Right? You can worship at Jerusalem, but who you got to worship? How you got to worship? In spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And now if you're in the United States of America, you don't have to think about Jerusalem when you worship.
That's right.
Who are you to think about when you worship? Christ.
Yes, sir.
And you think about him in spirit and in truth. Truth is vital. And my time's about gone, but I want to think of truth is vital because James says this about conversion. It says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Okay? And let me say, you cannot be converted apart from the truth of God's word. It being preached or proclaimed to you in some manner. Right? And whether it's hearing it on tape, whether it's hearing it in person, whether it's hearing it on the radio, whether it's reading it from the Bible yourself.
Yes, sir.
You know? It's somehow got to be proclaimed, put forth to you.
Yes, sir.
For there to be an actual conversion. Okay? You can't be converted to what you ain't never heard.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I ain't never heard of that. You know?
Yeah.
You're converted by the truth to the truth. Right? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. But I also got to say the truth first got to lay hold of you.
Yes, sir.
Before you can ever lay hold of truth.
Amen. Exactly.
Now look at something. What is it? John chapter 18. And let me see. Hope it's not one of them places where I messed up and had the wrong. No, this is it. John 18. Now again, I'm saying, truth cannot be known apart from Christ's words. Okay? We're not talking about just religious messages. A lot of men are preaching, and they're preaching that, yes, they're ministering to people. But most of the preaching today that I hear, you know what they're doing? All right, you have trouble in your life, and you have certain circumstances in your life, and certain things are happening to different one of us, different things are happening, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and here's how you're to go through it. Right? That's what most preaching is today. Or some other kind of extreme. You're going to hell. You better get right with God. You know, We always got that in the middle. I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Huh? But they're not preaching the truth.
Exactly.
Okay? Now, I don't care if a man says, if he's preaching the truth, I'll listen to him.
Yes, sir.
But I don't care if he gets up and he can just melt my heart with he knows how I feel and has been where I've been. If he ain't preaching the truth, he's still one place I've been he ain't been.
That's right.
That's at the feet of Christ.
Exactly.
Right? Now, Christ, the truth cannot be known apart from Christ's word. Now, he said that in John 8. You could read it for yourself. Now, if you wish, it doesn't matter. 30, 31, 32. But truth as a divine source must precede even Christ's words. Okay? So let me look at it. John 18, verse 33. That's where I'll begin. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? He said, what's he doing? He's putting Pilate to the test. He's going to make Pilate confess the facts. Now, maybe not the truth, but he's going to confess the facts. Somebody tell the, did you come up with this on your own, or did somebody tell you about it?
Yeah.
Huh? Now, where was I at? Right here. Verse 35. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? You see, you got a kingdom, right? Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Now I want you to notice, our Lord Jesus Christ does not engage in debate with Pilate, trying to convince Pilate of the truth.
No, sir.
Right? He just tells him the truth.
Exactly.
And that I'm here to speak the truth, right? Bear witness unto the truth. Listen, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You see that? He doesn't say everyone who hears my voice believes the truth. Doesn't say that, does he? This is not even in some spiritual way. I mean, we're not talking about quickening or regeneration necessarily there. But what does he say? Let me find my spot again. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You got to be of the truth first before you can ever hear his voice. And then let's go back. John 8, as I said. Look at what he says. 30, 31, 32. As he spake these words, many believed on him. That's what it says, right? They believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Mm-hmm. Right? But you got to be of God before you can ever hear his voice. Right? You got to be of. What are we talking about? We're talking about truth must lay hold of us before we can ever lay hold of truth.
Exactly.
As Christ went on to say, now look at what he told these people, verses 42 through 47. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me.
Amen.
For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now, they were hearing it audibly, but they couldn't hear it spiritually.
Yes,
and they couldn't see it as truth.
That's
okay?
It.
Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in what? The truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, that's the problem, you see. Somebody say, well, if you just tell the truth, people gonna believe it. No, people won't. They're adverse to the truth. You know? Now that don't mean you tell them a lie. You tell them the truth. But there's some people. And because I tell you the truth, what happens? Ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God.
Yeah.
See it? He that is of God heareth God's words.
Amen.
So in other words, here it is. God's got to lay hold of you. Mm-hmm. For you can never lay hold of God.
Amen.
And in the same way, truth has to lay hold of you before you can ever lay hold of truth. Now, just a couple examples, and I'll try to be brief with this. Last week, I gave you examples about comparing truth with lie, right? Well, now I want to give examples of truth and worship and faith. A couple examples, but one of them's negative, one of them's positive. In Luke chapter 4, mainly verses 16 through 28, our Lord was in a synagogue, as was his custom on the Sabbath day. He was delivered the book, the scroll of Isaiah. He stood up and he read a certain passage. And he said, today are these words fulfilled in your eyes. You know, it's fulfilled today. And you know what it says? And the people marveled that he spoke with such gracious words. Now, he knew that.
Yeah.
It doesn't say they were saying this, but he knew that, right? He knew that here's this group of people and they're thinking, what gracious words. This is wonderful.
Yes,
right? This is so marvelous.
Yes, sir.
But he knew what they really were.
Yeah.
So he gave them an example of grace.
Exactly.
Yeah. Didn't he? He gave them an example of grace.
Yes, sir.
He said there were a lot of widows way back yonder in Israel.
Yeah.
Well, years ago. A lot of widows. God didn't feed one of them. He went and fed a Gentile.
That's right.
Right? And he said, there were many lepers in Israel, way back yonder. There were many lepers in Israel. God didn't heal one of them. He went and healed a daggone Syrian to beat it all.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Yeah. That's a Syrian. Right. An enemy.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? These people were moved with what?
Wrath.
And wanted to kill him.
Yes, sir.
You see, if you just kind of quote the scripture, say a few little nice words, just talk about God's mercy and compassion in general, people say, oh, what a great sermon.
Yeah.
Wasn't that nice? I might just consider being a part of that.
Yes, sir.
Huh? But when you define God's compassion,
yes, sir.
When you define God's mercy, when you go into the details of this particular and some folks is left out,
yes, sir.
People get filled with wrath.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm? But, on the other hand, there's a woman that came to Christ. The account's given in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Our Lord three times pretty much just told her, go on about your own business.
Yeah.
She come up running behind the apostles. Lord, help me. My daughter's grievously sick.
Yeah.
Disciples said, Master, send her away. That old Gentile woman following us around crying.
Yeah.
Wanting our help. You know? Send her away. He said, I'm not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't quit. She kept on coming. Lord, help me. Huh? Lord, help me. Now you think, I believe this woman meant it. It was real to her, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now here's the amazing thing. He basically turned around and told her, woman, it is not proper for me to take Israel's bread and give it to a Gentile dog like you.
Amen.
That's what he said.
Yeah. That's it.
Now, you know what she said? Now, you know, here's these people, this one group of people, he just defined grace a little further. They became angry and hateful and wanted to kill him.
Yes, sir.
Here, this woman, he's almost insulting her.
Oh, yeah.
As far as you can go. She still won't quit.
That's right.
Huh? You know what she said? And see, this always gets me. Truth, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Bless God, it might be hard, but it's truth.
Yes, sir.
Right? I am a dog. You know what she said? She didn't say, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Uh-uh. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I may be a dog, but bless God, I'm your dog.
Hmm?
And just the crumbs, enough. Huh?
Yeah.
And he said, great is thy faith. I've not seen so great a faith, no, not even in Israel.
Amen.
Woman, be it unto thee even as thou wilt.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
She bowed to the truth, no matter how much it hurt. Right?
That's
No matter how offensive the truth is to us, we come to know. And even, now I don't love hearing about what I am by nature. You know what I mean? I don't love contemplating that. I don't love thinking on it and pondering on it, because sometimes it gives me guilty feelings if I go back too far. And it scares me if I start thinking ahead, you know? But I do love to hear it, because in spite of how bad I am, I know this. God Almighty said unto me one day, I will be thou clean.
Amen.
Right? That meant I'm clean. And even though I don't always properly obey his words thereafter. Remember that leper? Don't tell anybody, our Lord said. You go straightway, you offer your turtle doves or your pigeons, whatever your standing, you know, allow you to do. And you offer that to the priest as a testimony to them. Did he do that? No, he started spreading abroad about what this man had done, who he is. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, let me tell you something. But he was still clean.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
That's right.
Wasn't he? Well, you telling me I can go out and sin? No, I'm telling you, you're going to go out and sin.
Exactly.
It ain't a matter whether you can or you can't. You're going to.
Amen. That's it.
But let me tell you, if Christ cleaned you up, you're clean.
Amen.
You're clean. And thinking about it. Here's the thing. You don't have to worry too much about sinning if you're bragging on Christ.
Exactly.
Huh? It might be law breaking, but if you're bragging on Christ, you're honoring and glorifying God. Right?
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Father, I pray that you bless us in the truth of thy Son. Convince us of it. Encourage us in it. With it. Make us to love it. Feel to be a part of it. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.